whichever it is, I wish you a good one. And what I want to talk about this morning is what that is, what Advent is. We're off to a good start. We're officially in Advent. We're officially in the season of coming. And it's a season and not a holiday, so it's not quite the sort of thing we get at Christmas, and yet it is. Because we forget that Christmas is a season, too. It lasts from the 25th of December on to the Epiphany on the 6th of January. So we say Merry Christmas, we mean Merry 12 days. We say Happy Advent, we mean Happy 4 weeks, or at least 4 Sundays, with a candle for each one. So what's happening? What's happening in Advent? One thing that's happening is excitement. Excitement's building. Joy is building. Hope is building. Because we hear different music. We see different things when we go around the town. And sometimes we see different things in church, like this. We see something different. There's something different to watch and watch for. And there's a kind of energy, a kind of expectation, a kind of bustle that sometimes is overdone, and we get wrapped up in that and we get exhausted by the time Christmas is coming. But we can't really hold it down. We can't hold it back. Because what's going on in Advent is the sort of thing we can't repress. It's the sort of joy that bubbles up and affects everything. It affects the whole of secular society. Because the Christmas season and the preparation for it isn't just the church's property anymore. It's somehow part of the whole society. And the church has had a problem for a long time knowing how to relate to the society about all kinds of things, but especially about Christmas. How different should we be from the rest of the society we're in? One thing we can do is to think about the joy that's bubbling up, the hope, the expectation, the energy, and say, that's good. How can we build on that to draw church and society closer together? One thing that happens this time of year is that we begin to see more awareness of other people's needs and a little less selfishness. You see that because all kinds of people and agencies begin to think about how can we help the needy. Now, the needy are needy all year long, and we ought to be thinking about that all year long. But to think about it once a year is better than not thinking about it at all. So then, thinking more about somebody else and their needs is a kind of characteristic of the Advent Christmas time of year. That's a good thing. It's something that can heighten our awareness all year long and build in us something for the whole year, not just for Advent and Christmas. There's a downside, too, of course, to this season. This season makes some people very sad. It makes them sad because they have very little to look forward to. Their families may not be close to them, not close in distance and not close in emotion either. Their families may be broken. Their families may be absent. Their families may be dead. They may have few friends. People who are lonely are even lonelier this time of year. And as we prepare for Christmas, there are people who have little to look forward to. So then, to think about others means to think not just about those who are needy in terms of money or food or housing, but also to think about those who are needy in terms of friends and relatives and love. Advent is a time, though, for doing things that we do every year at this time. Advent's a time for preparing for Christmas with the tree and the presents and the decorations and all that stuff. And the Advent wreath and the Advent calendar and the other things that we use, we as church people particularly use to celebrate this season and to prepare for Christmas, are things that come up every year and help us to look forward to the holiday Christmas. And behind all of that is a question that's lurking. And the question is, what will it be like this year? Will it be better than last year? Will it be as good as last year? What's going to happen this year to mess it up? What's going to happen? So in Advent, we start watching and worrying and waiting and fearing. We're excited and energized and joyous, but we're also a little apprehensive. So it's easy for us to think, if it can be just as good as the best I can remember, that'll be terrific. How can we make it happen the way it used to, when it was really good? And when we think in that way, we miss the heart of Advent, because the heart of Advent is about something new. What do we watch for? We watch for something new. The something new that Jesus was, the something new happens every year. Advent is caught up in a cycle, a yearly cycle that we do in church, and that the society as a whole does. Christmas happens every year. So we build up to Christmas, and then we go down from Christmas to Easter, and then back again, and we've got a circle. And if we didn't get it right this year, maybe we'll get it right next year. Only if we focus on getting it right, then we don't hear, we don't see what's new that we haven't thought about before. Last Sunday, we focused on Christ the King, and the first hymn this morning focused on some of that as well. Lo, he comes. And coming is what Advent is all about. And Jesus is coming. And Jesus is coming as a baby at Christmas time is what we look forward to. But also, we look forward to Jesus' coming back. What does that mean? Heaven splitting open and Jesus drifting down like a balloon with less air? Or does it mean Jesus coming in ways we haven't expected before? Does it mean Jesus coming to us in ways we hadn't imagined? Jesus coming to us in some body we haven't met? Jesus coming to us as a king in a way we've never thought about king. What kind of king was Jesus? Jesus, the sort of king who died for his people. Jesus, the sort of king who lorded it over nobody. Jesus, the sort of king who welcomed everybody, even tax collectors and sinners. Sounds like the church, I hope. So what we watch for in Advent are those comings of Jesus again and again and again in the form of opportunity to be of some use to somebody else, to be aware of somebody else's need, and to think about Jesus' lordship in ways that would be familiar to him and not just to us. There are four Sundays in Advent, four candles. Four Sundays in Advent, when we think about, and when the scripture readings force us to think about new learning, revelation, uncovering what has been hidden. The "did you ever think about this" kind of reading. Advent's a time to learn, and a time to hope, a time to repent, and a time to prepare. And that's what the Bible lessons drive us to, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And that's what it takes to prepare us for the birth of the baby in all simplicity and innocence as the great gift of life on Christmas. Because what it's about is preparing to hear again the story of the incarnation, of God being flesh, of God being here, of God being with us, Emmanuel. And that takes some preparing, because we aren't used to thinking that way. And as we think about it, maybe we think about being, all of us, created in God's image. Oh. So if I look at you, or I look at you, or I look at you, should I be seeing God? Should I be seeing God's coming to me, to us, to this church, to this community, in every one of your faces? And what do you see in mine? That kind of thinking prepares us to celebrate the birth of Jesus. There are two pivots in the Christian year. One is Christmas, and the other is Easter. And these two pivots are so huge and so basic that they're part of the society around us, as well as part of the church. The society around us misses a lot, we think, from our perspective. But these two pivot points are there. And they're there as much as anything because of light. Advent is a time when the days are getting shorter and there's less light. And Christmas is a time when they've just begun to get longer again. And Epiphany, we celebrate the feast of light. And at Easter, we celebrate growth. And we've got fresh growth again because it's springtime. And those pivot points are in the whole world. For us as the church, they're associated with things in Jesus' life. But they're so basic to the whole earth that this whole society is there ready to celebrate with us in some sense. And that's good. That's a good thing. That's where church and society have a chance to come together. I've just read a new book by a man called David Haskell. David Haskell teaches biology at the University of the South, where I also teach. And David has written a book called The Forest Unseen. For a year, he went once or twice a week to the same square meter, a little larger than a square yard, of forest in Sewanee. And he just looked. He looked closer. He lay on his belly with a hand lens and looked at the tiniest things he could possibly see. And he writes his book about what he sees. It's a wonderful book because he writes so well. But it's a wonderful book more basically because he sees so well. He taught himself to see. In Advent, we watch so that we can see. And if we don't see, it's because we don't watch or we haven't learned to see. So Advent's a time for learning to see better, to see more closely, to see as we haven't seen before. And that's the something new that Advent can be for us. You know the story about Phil Rizzuto, great shortstop of the New York Yankees, who was also their broadcaster for many, many years. And from time to time, somebody would ask him, Phil, what happened on such and such a play? And he'd say, I don't know, I wasn't watching. And you'd look at his scorecard and he'd mark down the plays, but in some places he'd just written WW, wasn't watching. If you don't watch, you don't see. So Advent's a time for us to teach ourselves to see better. What kind of coming? What kind of coming do we expect this Advent? Nobody knows what's going to happen this year, this Christmas, here, or anywhere else. It may be what we least expect. It may be something we've never thought about before, something or somebody we've never noticed. It's not a time to force it, to work at it, but a time to let go. To what do I see? Not what do I want to see, but what do I see? What's there? What's there? What is God up to this Advent? What's God up to? In this Eucharist we celebrate every week, the Advent waiting and watching is something, is a state of mind, is a way of being that isn't just for Advent. The waiting and watching thing is something we can do all year round. Something that at some point, like the weekly Eucharist, maybe it's a little easier because we become a little more thoughtful. Maybe when something special happens, it's a little easier to watch and wait. If we don't get caught up in having to do it or fix it or manage it or make it happen. So for Advent and for Christmas, I wish you good waiting and watching. Happy Advent.